We thank you for this morning. We reach out, Lord, for your help in the name of Jesus. We ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. Open our eyes, Lord, to behold wondrous things out of your law, because your word is a lamp unto our feet and it's a light unto our path. And this morning we ask that the lamp will be turned on, the light will be turned on. Shine your light upon us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, today I want to share with you one more time about being anointed, steps to the anointing. I've been sharing from the book Steps to the Anointing, all right? And this is one of the books in the Macarius, and I believe this book will be a blessing if you take this book and read through it and study it slowly and just keep going through it. You will become anointed by the grace of God. Amen. Because there are many powerful things here that are very insightful, and they will show you exactly how you can become anointed. Amen. Now, we shared a verse from Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, which, can you bring it up, please? Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." One more time. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. So you see that, well, if we read the next verse, let's read the next verse. Verse 7 says, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it." Hallelujah. So Zerubbabel is going to overcome a great mountain. Hallelujah. It says, "Before Zerubbabel, the mountain shall become a plain," right? "And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace to it." Hallelujah. And the reason is that the anointing or the power of God upon a person is also the grace of God upon that person's life, right? So the anointing is the grace of God that comes upon you and that enables you to do things and to accomplish things that were otherwise impossible, things that someone of your type, someone of your temperament, someone with your background, someone with your education, someone with your qualifications will not get to do. But the power of God upon your life can put you in places where you never imagined you could be, can make you find yourself doing things and make you associated with things that someone like you should never have been associated with. You know, if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 10, 1 Samuel chapter 10, and you read verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 1, right? It says, "And Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" right? So Samuel anointed Saul. And when you jump over to verse 6, you see how he was giving him the signs. What are the things that will prove that you have become anointed? Or what are the things that will show that the Spirit of the Lord has come upon you? And in verse 6, he says, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy. Can you see with them? It says, you will prophesy with them, and you will be turned into another man, right? The Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. Thou shalt be turned into another man, right? So when people become anointed, they are really turned into another man, right? The anointing and the grace of God on people changes them into someone else, changes them into someone we are not used to. It gives them abilities they didn't have before. It gives them capabilities that were not associated with them before. It opens doors for them. It makes them accomplish things they could never have accomplished. It makes them do things they would never have done. Hallelujah. So in your everyday, day-to-day life, you need the anointing. You need God's presence. It's not just something for pastors or preachers or for building churches or for preaching the gospel. The anointing is also for leading. It's for working as a manager, even working as an employer or an employee. Whatever you're doing, you need God's presence, God's guidance, and God's help. And the work of an anointed person will always be excellent. Hallelujah. It will be a blessing for you to be anointed. So you see that some of the clever people in the Bible, they refused to do things without being anointed. And one of them was Moses. You know, Moses refused to continue without the anointing. Moses is the one who told the Lord in Exodus chapter 33. If you turn to Exodus chapter 33 and verse 15, he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Right? If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Right? In other words, Lord, if I will not have your presence, don't even send me on any assignment. Don't let me go to any place without you. I don't want to live without your presence. I don't want to work without your presence. I don't want to do anything without your presence. I need you in my life. I need your involvement in my life. It's amazing that today many of us just get up and just start moving on. We rise up and start rolling on, and we expect to accomplish things. We expect doors to open onto us. We expect favors. We expect to be hired. We expect breakthroughs. We expect so many things, you know, and we don't take the time to ask the Lord and to say, Lord, if your presence does not go with me, I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. No wonder there's so much failure in our lives, because we literally stepped out without his presence. Do you see? But Moses said, Lord, if your presence is not going with us, it's not coming along, please don't send us there. We are not going anywhere without your presence, because we know it will be useless. We know it will come to nothing. We know we will not achieve anything. We know even what we seem or may seem to have achieved will eventually come to nothing anyway. So what we need is your presence, because it is not by power. It is not by might. It is by my spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. And so it's important. And we, you know, that's what this whole book is about. And there are so many different steps to various anointing experiences that many people in the Bible have experienced. And we have taken the time to talk about some specific ones, right? Steps to the anointing in your own company. I think I shared that with you two Sundays ago, where we were talking about the blessing that is upon your own small group, the blessing that is upon your church. The anointings and the graces that are upon this church can also be upon your life, you know, because you're part of the church. If you're part of the church, then the blessing that's upon the church must also rest upon your life. You must expect to walk in that same debt-free anointing, in that same advancing anointing, in that same expansion anointing and grace that is upon the church. That same thing must also be upon your life. As the church changes, you must also change. As the church grows, as the church advances, your individual life can also advance in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then last Sunday, we were talking about steps to losing the anointing, which I thought was very important to study. Steps to losing the anointing, or what makes a person lose the anointing, what makes a person lose God's presence in their lives. You know, and indeed, if God's presence is so vital to us, then it's important for us to know how not to lose it. Do you see? What does a person have to do to lose that presence? And that's what we were studying last week. Number one, we said, do not disobey the specific commands of the Lord. The specific instructions that God gives you, you must not disobey them. Hallelujah. Number two, do not become big in your own eyes, right? Do not become big in your own eyes. That means do not become proud. Do not become proud. You know, the Bible actually teaches that God resists proud people. God pushes against a proud person. God resists the proud. But God gives grace to the humble. God helps humble people. And when you are humble, God will help you. We learned from Saul how that when he considered himself a nobody, when he considered himself a small person, which is what the scripture says, when you were small in your own eyes, then the Lord sent you. You see, so God selected you when you were small in your own eyes, not small in the eyes of other people. What other people think about you does not matter as much as what you think of yourself. Do you see? Yeah. And even if other people think you're a big person, but you can manage to see yourself as a small person in the sight of God, God will choose you. You will find favor with God and his presence will remain with you. The problem is when you don't think of yourself as small in his eyes. When you think of yourself as a big person, when you rise up in pride and arrogance and think very highly of yourself, and you start to exhibit and exude, you know, the signs and symptoms and characteristics of proud people, then you're going to find that God will set you aside and find himself someone who is humble, someone he can lead, someone who will obey him, someone who is not arrogant, someone who will appreciate God's input into his life. Hallelujah. So it's important that we don't become proud and we don't become big in our own sight, that we remain little in our own sight. I think you remember the verse, 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 17. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 17, it says, First Samuel said, when thou was little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. right? When thou was little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? That was when you were little in your own sight, right? So God is attracted to people who are little in their own sight. So whatever you do, try to stay humble, stay little in thine own sight, right? Prefer others before you. Place others ahead of you. Esteem others better than you. Always stay little in your own sight. And when you do, God will lift you up. God will promote you. God is the one who promotes people. You know, we read a verse from Psalm 75, verse 6 the other day. It says, for promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south, but God is the one who puts down one, and God is the one who sets up another. So God puts people down. Yes, God puts people down. You heard me right. Yes, God puts people down, and God sets up people. God sets up people. God promotes people. God sets people up. God lifts people up. God places people in high places because his hand is upon them and he has decided to lift them up, you know. So I would rather be lifted up by God, do you see? Because when God sets you up, no one can bring you down. When God sets people up, he places them where no man can reach them. You know, it's much like the way we put things beyond the reach of kids. When we don't want them to destroy them, we just set the thing up at a place where the child cannot reach. You put it on the top shelf, and he'll be standing down there and looking at it. He can only see it, but he can never have it because it's been set beyond him. When God sets people up, he puts them on the top shelf. You know, yes, he puts them on the topmost shelf possible, and no man, no woman, no human being, no occultic powers or witchcraft practiced against you can set you down, because God is the one who has placed you up there far above all principality and power.
Amen.
I can do anything to you. Hallelujah. So strive to be promoted rather by the Lord. Instead of looking for the promotion of man, look for the promotion of God. When God promotes you, no man can bring you down. When a man promotes you, he still has the key, you see. Yeah, and he can undo it. He can bring you back down where he found you. You see, it'll only take another man to demote you. But when God promotes you, it'll only take God to demote you. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So don't become big, right? I think another point we mentioned last week, don't become interested in the financial and earthly benefits of ministry, right? We must be careful of greed. Do you see? We must be careful of greed. We must be careful not to be ruled by money. We must be careful that our lives are not controlled by money and the love of money, because the love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil, you know, and it introduces evil into our lives when we love it. So we have to be careful with that, right? Then another one is, don't sacrifice instead of obeying God. Don't sacrifice instead of obeying God. So obey God. Do the things God has told you to do. And instead of trying to substitute sacrifice for your obedience, just forget about the sacrifice and just obey God. Right, just do what God says and skip the sacrifice, because God would rather have your obedience than your sacrifice. The Bible says, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams, right? So doing all sorts of difficult and sacrificial things for God rather than listening to the voice of the Spirit is not the way to go, right? Do not think you can bribe God by doing something very difficult for him so he, you know, turns a blind eye on some disobedience in your life, right? Yeah. Don't walk in disobedience, live in sin, and come and give a big offering to the Lord. You see, you don't have to pay 20 to 30% of tithe so that the Lord will be pleased with you because you gave him 30% instead of 10%. Everybody is paying 10% tithe, and your tithe is 30%. And you're continuing to walk in fornication and continuing to walk in drunkenness, continuing to live in sin. You are lying, you're cheating everybody, even to get that money to give the 30%. God is not interested in something like that. Do you see? Yeah, God is not interested in something like that. God would rather that you obey him. Just obey him and skip that sacrifice. God would rather that you obey him. Hallelujah. So let's obey God. Let's not throw sacrifices at him so that he can ignore our disobedience, right? Next one is avoid rebellion and witchcraft. Avoid rebellion and witchcraft, because the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. This is in verse 23 of 1 Samuel chapter 15. Okay, then he said, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king, right? And that's how Saul lost the presence of God, because he rebelled. Because his pastor tried to correct him and he wouldn't accept what the pastor was saying. Do you see? He wouldn't. His prophet Samuel came to him and tried to explain that what you were told to do is not what you have done. And Saul insisted that what I have done is what I was told to do, even though there was a clear difference, you see, which leads us to the next point. The next point is stubbornness, you know, that you cannot be spoken to easily, you see, and for you to obey. It's like it always has to be an argument, and somebody has to talk and talk and talk and talk and repeat the same things over and over and over again before you agree. That is, even before you take action, because you have to agree, then you act. Do you see? Yeah. And sometimes you see that there are certain people who continue to be stubborn, very, very hard-headed. You know, there's a verse that you should see. This verse right here, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. Are you with me this morning? Can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes. Are you understanding what I'm sharing at all? Are you understanding it?
Yes.
Okay, let's read Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. Proverbs 29 and verse 1. Proverbs 29 and verse 1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy. Right? It's like he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed and that without remedy. Do you see? Now, the Bible is saying that if you are the type of person who is often corrected and you continue to harden your neck, do you see? You continue to harden your neck. That means you are stubborn. You remain stubborn. You refuse to yield. You refuse to bend. You refuse to agree. You refuse to accept. You refuse to obey. The Bible says you will suddenly be destroyed And it, that destruction will be final. Nothing can be done about it. So watch out when you're the type of person who's being spoken to and spoken to and spoken to and spoken to. Different pastors are speaking to you. Different friends are speaking to you. Different family members are speaking to you. The word of God is speaking to you yourself. You know, when God is speaking to you about something, you see it everywhere. Every time you open the Bible, you find God talking.
Oh, yeah.
Very true.
That's right. You hear it in every sermon. You get it. You see it in every verse. You see it everywhere around you that God is dealing with you concerning this particular matter. You know, and all of those are the reproofs of the Lord. And God is speaking to you and God is speaking to you. And the Bible says, if you continue to harden your neck, then what will happen is you will suddenly, do you see, without notice, when you least expect it, you will suddenly be destroyed. And it says, without remedy. Do you have another version of that verse? Can you give us another version of that verse, please? Maybe the NASB or new, whatever. Yeah, Leo, just give us another. It says, a man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy.
Mercy.
Yeah. A man who hardens his neck after much reproof. You get it? So you will not be begged forever. That's the thing. You will not be begged forever, you know, and the appeal will not continue forever. The rebukes, the correction will not continue forever. You see, now the problem is that according to the scripture, the destruction will be sudden, which means it will not happen when you expect it. It will take you by surprise. It will be unexpected. It means you will not know when you have received your last correction. You will not know it. Yes, when somebody has spoken to you, this is the last time someone is speaking to you about this matter. This is your last chance to change. You know, sometimes when you're on the road, on the highways, and you are approaching the last exit, maybe before a toll or before there won't be an exit for some time, you know, because every exit is a chance for U-turn. Every exit is a chance to change your mind. But there comes a place where they put up a sign, last exit before toll. That means if you don't take this coming exit, you know, you have to pay the price for being on this road. That there is no more escape for you. Beyond this exit, you have to pay a price. It will cost you something. So people are given a chance. You're given a chance, three exits before, two exits before. Then you get to the last one. You see, you get to the last exit, and this last exit is offering you one last chance to change your mind, after which there's no more changing of mind. Changing your mind is not one of the options anymore, but paying the price for coming that way. That's what remains for you, you see. Now, the scripture is saying that there are no such signs on the road of obedience. You see, they are not, so it means the highways are actually kinder than the scriptures when it comes to stubbornness. You see, it says there are no such signs. You don't have a way of telling that you have received your last chance to obey, your last instruction, your last direction to obey. There is no way of telling that this is the last one. So, and yet when you miss that chance, then the next thing is what the scripture says. The scripture says you will suddenly be destroyed It will happen when you don't expect it, and there will be no remedy. You see, trees that fall or that are broken when there is a strong wind, they break because they refuse to yield. You see, they don't bend. Because sometimes you wonder how come strong-looking big trees fall and your little flower is still standing there.
Right. Mess.
Your little flower is still standing there, still in the flower bed, it's still in the pot, it's still out there. And how come this tree is falling? How come there are branches breaking off the tree? The branches break off the tree because of stiffness. Do you see? But your little flower survives because it just bends. It flows with the wind. You know, as the wind brings a little pressure, he says, let's go. And it just bends and yields with the wind and just flows. You see, you never see a wind taking or removing the grass, the lawn, the weeds. All those things survive. The wind doesn't take those things away. If they would, how would love them? I mean, they would be windy, and by the time the wind is past, the whole area is weeded. Your lawn is mowed for you because of the wind. Yeah, but all those things have a strategy. They have learned to cope with the wind. Once the wind starts to apply a little pressure, they yield and they flow with it. The wind just passes through and they are still around. But sometimes you see the trees and you see the branches and you see them there and refusing, acting strong, resisting the wind. And the mighty wind comes after them and just breaks them. You get it? So please, I believe God is speaking to somebody today about stubbornness. What is it that you're being spoken to about that two or three people have spoken? The Bible says a word is established by the mouth of two or three people. If you have more than two or three people, if two or three people have spoken to you about the same thing, then it's time for that word to be established. Allow what they are saying to be established. Allow their counsel to prevail. I'm not talking about bad advice that two or three people are giving you. Do you get
that one?
No. Two or three people are giving you bad advice. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about two or three people starting with the word of God. The word of God is one. So it's the word of God plus any other person. Do you see? Yeah. It's the word of God, the word that you have seen yourself, plus any other person, that gives you two, right? And perhaps three. But once two or three people speak to you about the same matter, it's time to yield. It's time to consider it. It's time to obey. It's time to flow with it. Flow with it. Flow with it. Flow with it. And it will be a blessing to you. Many things that we have to flow with, they are not our choice. They are not what we would like to do. But eventually, you'll be glad you did. Because as for obedience, it only leads to peace, it leads to rewards, and it leads to blessing. All right. So I want to encourage all of you, let us all learn to avoid stubbornness and to be obedient. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Right. Okay. The next one, next step, avoid iniquity. Avoid iniquity, right? If you avoid iniquity, John chapter 14 and verse 30, right? It says, hereafter, I will not talk much with you. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, right? For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. The prince of this world cometh and he hath nothing in me. Hallelujah. Now, all kinds of sin make you lose the anointing, right? Sin opens the door for demons to come in. Sin opens the door of your life for demons to come in, right? Sin becomes the foothold and the legal access of the enemy to your life. It becomes a foothold and the legal access of the enemy to your life. And Jesus told us that the devil has no access to his life, right? So he told us, John chapter 14 and verse 30, he said, the prince of this world is coming. The devil is coming, but he has nothing in me. He has nothing in me. You see, even when we are going to places, especially when we're driving our cars, one of the determinants of the places we go to is whether we can find parking. And in many places where there is no parking, we try to avoid those places. Or at least we will not bring our cars over there because we know we will not find parking. There are places we don't like going to because it's difficult to find parking. You know, it's difficult to find parking in those places. It's difficult to find a place to... I remember we used to have church in some place. People would come and circle round and round and round the neighborhood and find parking for half an hour. And when they don't find parking, they just drive back home. You know, it's like they want to come to church and they drive all the way to the area, but they can't find a place to park. They can't leave the car anywhere. And so they end up going back home, you see. So they had the plan, they had the intent, but the absence of a landing pad, the absence of a parking spot makes the person go back. And that's the same thing with the devil. There are demons that would like to attack you. You get it. But the sin in your life then becomes a parking spot for them. You see, when demons and devils can identify with something in your life, then they visit you more often because every time they come, you know, they're like one of these, your life is like one of these shopping malls with a big open free car park. You see, and you will always have cars parked there. You will always have demons and devils parking there because they can find a parking spot in your life. So we need to get rid of sin. We need to get rid of unrighteousness. We need to get rid of evil.
Amen.
And when we get rid of those things, devils and demons, you know, cannot have their way with us. They will not be able to come and park in our lives. Hallelujah. Do you see?
Amen.
It is very, very important. Avoid iniquity. When you know it's wrong, don't do it. Do you get it? When you know it's wrong, don't do it. If you can't tell your pastor about it, don't do it. Yeah. If you can't tell your pastor proudly about what you're about to do, don't do it. Do you see? Yeah.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Many years ago, I had Bishop preached a message, you know, and he was showing us, you know, there's a verse in the scriptures. Let me find that verse for you. It says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do you see? Yeah, he says, do all to the glory of God. And I mean, I'll show you that verse right there. It says, right, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. That's right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Right. He says, therefore, whether ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Can you see that verse? Yeah. Wherefore, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Right. So he was teaching about this verse and he was explaining that the way to decide on what is right to do and what is wrong to do is simply to attempt to do it to the glory of God. Do you see? Yeah. So next time you get a bottle of beer and you're about to drink it, see if you can say, Lord, I'm about to drink this to the glory of God. Put it down. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So start taking your steps towards sin. You know, you're supposed to say, you know, I'm going to do this to the glory of God. Right? Next time you feel like beating up someone, you want to slap someone, say, I will slap you to the glory of God. If it doesn't work, then you need to just back off. You must know that this is not one of the things you must be doing. Hallelujah. Right?
Amen.
Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. See, even our eating and our drinking. You see, yeah. So those wheat cakes you've been eating, you know, to the glory of God.
See,
if it works. You need to say, Lord, I've got some wheat cake here. We're about to eat to your glory. You see?
Wheat brownie.
And if it's not working, then you're supposed to stop. Hallelujah. Right? Iniquity will make you lose the anointing. Right? Look, you and I don't like to sit in dirty places. When we're at an airport or in any public place, the seat we avoid is the one that has some stains on it. You see? So if even you know how to avoid dirty places, you know how not to settle in a dirty place. You see, you know how not to settle in a place that's been used up by people and not cleaned and has been left dirty. You know how to enter a restaurant and not choose the table that still has food on it. You avoid places that are dirty. Why do we think the presence of God will choose us when we are dirty? No, God will also skip you when you are dirty. God's presence will move away from you when you continue to be a host to sin and your life is continually, you know, littered with all kinds of sin and all kinds of issues and all kinds of problems. God's presence does not dwell in such places. So we need to have a decisive victory over sin once and for all. Amen. The sin that easily beset us, the things that we know they are wrong. You get it? There are sins that are a little more complex, you know, like sometimes when it's happening, you don't even know it's happening to you, like pride. You see, some of those things are a little more, they are spiritual sins. But I'm talking now about sins of the flesh, sins of the mind, things that involve your flesh, involve your body, involve your lips, involve your mind, your thinking. There are a lot of those things that we can gain some control over and with a decision and decide that, you know, I will not do this anymore. So help me, God. I believe you will have victory over those things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Number 8 is avoid idolatry. Okay. Idolatry. Okay. Samuel's famous rebuke of Saul was also for idolatry. Any kind of idol or God that comes between you and Jehovah will cause you to lose God's favor and anointing. Wow. Anything that comes between you and God will cause you to lose God's favor and anointing. Yes, and it makes sense. Anything that comes between you and God becomes your God then. Do you see? It becomes your God. That thing is now more important to you than God. You now worship it, you see. So things that come between you and God, sometimes we wake up in the morning, we can't even read our Bibles, but our iPhone our Android phone. You see, I mean, if something is going to come between you and God, try not. It shouldn't be Android, please. I mean, forgive me, but
preach.
Apostle, preach.
Stay right there.
Please, the Android people are not paying me any. Oh no, I mean, iPhone is not paying me anything to say what I'm saying. Right, but what I'm saying is that why do you let cheap stuff come between you and God? Do you see? Yeah, not only phones, sometimes a movie. You get it? Sometimes a movie. There are people who don't come to the service or won't join a meeting online because they need the same screen to continue watching something.
Preach.
You see, you need the same screen to continue watching it. There are some people who toggle between the service on Zoom and then what they are watching because they don't want to miss it. Do you see? So Zoom a little with Apostle, then go back to the program for about 10 minutes and come back. What was Apostle saying? Okay, yeah.
Mercy.
Just connect and you're back and forth.
You see? Mercy.
A TV show or whatever series you're trying to keep up with is becoming your God. It's becoming your God, and you're starting to practice idolatry.
Okay.
Yes. And idolatry is one of the reasons why Saul lost the presence of God. That's why he lost his place. If you read verse 20, 1 Samuel chapter 15, and let's read 21. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 21, right? Verse 21. It says, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal, right? Then Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And then verse 23, right? For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity. That means stubbornness is a sin. It's a sin to be stubborn. And then it says, stubbornness is the same as iniquity and idolatry. Do you see? So Saul was rejected. It says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Yes, the Lord hath also rejected thee from being king. Right? Remember, God is as close to us as we are to him. The Bible says if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. So when you reject God, he rejects you. It's as simple as that. Do you see? Yeah. And you can see right there, he's saying, put the verse back, please. You know, he's saying that it is because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Because you didn't want him, so he also doesn't want you. You get it? And when you choose something else to be your God, when you choose something else to be the thing you respect, the thing you have time for, the thing you worship, then God is forced to also turn away from you because you have not selected him as your God. You have not selected him as your God. Somehow we expect that even though we don't select him and choose him as our God, he will choose us as his people. Do you see? But that's not how it works. You know, you draw nigh unto him and he will draw nigh unto you. God goes with those who choose him. God goes with those who choose him, you know. So we must be careful of idolatry. Amen. Then number nine is don't fear the people. That's talking about the people influencing us to do what we know is wrong, right? It says in verse 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. Why? Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. I feared the people and obeyed their voice. That's about compromise, compromise, compromise. I'm afraid of what the people will say, so I'm going to play along even though I don't believe in what they're doing. Do you see? I'm afraid that my friends will reject me. I'm afraid that my friends will laugh at me. And because I don't want them to laugh at me, I'm going to agree and go on and just play along, flow with whatever they're doing, because I don't want to be odd. Do you see? I don't want to be odd. I'm afraid of what they'll say. You see, I'm afraid of what they'll say. And so I'm going to agree. I don't want to be odd. I don't want people to look down on me. I don't want people to think that I feel I'm a better Christian than them. So I think I'm going to yield. I'm going to compromise. And I'm just going to flow. I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. You see, because sometimes we are being led into evil. We are being led into sin. And the right thing to do is to say no. But we don't want to hurt the other person's feelings. Do you see? We don't want to hurt their feelings. We don't want them to think we are too much into God, too much into Christ, too much into this church thing. There is no such thing as being too much into God. There is no such thing as being too much into God. God is God. We need God. We need to be filled with God. You see, so the fear of the people, that's what led this guy into sin. He had more regard for the people and his fear of them and what the people would say than the God who sent him. And after he had argued and everything with Samuel, then he came back and he told us the real thing behind his disobedience. That the real thing behind his disobedience was the desire to fit in. It was the desire to remain popular with the people. It was so the people will still vote for him. Do you see? Yeah, I think it was election time, and you know he was trying to he gets the votes. Do you see? Yes, and usually when it comes to election time, you see that a lot of politicians have to compromise. They compromise their stance. They are everything to everyone. They believe in so many things at the same time. You just wonder, how can you believe in this and believe in this and believe in that and believe in that at the same time? But the thing is, they need the votes and they have to believe. You see, yeah, they fear the people. But this is what caused Saul to lose the anointing, right? Being afraid of people rather than being afraid of the Lord is a common cause of losing the anointing. It's important to fear God and not people, right? It is important to fear God and not people. Let us have a fear for God. Let's fear the right person. You know, yes, let's fear the right person. The Bible says we must not fear the ones who can kill the outer person, kill the body, and they can't touch the spirit or the soul of the person. But we should rather fear the one who can kill the body and put the soul also in hell. That's what the Bible says. And we need to fear God, not man, right? Let's fear God, not man. Let's strive to please God, not man. Our friends cannot add 1 hour. 1 hour is probably too much. Our friends cannot add 1 minute to our lives. That is the truth. When God decides that it's over, our friends cannot add 1 minute. You get it? They cannot add 1 minute to our lives. If we could, we'll do it all the time, isn't it? Nobody would die, you know. But you can see that anytime we can save a life, we try to do it, and we do. But when God decides that it is over, and you can't do anything about it. And that is the reason why we must have a fear for God rather than for man. When we have to choose between what God says and what man says, let's obey God rather than man, because God is the Almighty. God is God. God is unmatched in his power. God is great. With him, nothing shall be impossible. That's what the scripture says. And we must have that respect and fear for God, who is able to do all things. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we are able to think or ask. God is a mind-blowing God. God is one who is able to take you beyond your imaginations. He's able to turn things around in your favor. God can do many mighty and marvelous things in your life. And he's the one we must fear. So let us fear God. Let us fear God. Let us fear God. Sometimes human beings flex their power and flex their muscles before us. Do you see? And then they have us all frightened and ready to bow and yield to them. But let us fear God. I tell you, let us fear God. Let us fear the God of the person. You know, yes, there were three guys in the Bible called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And a king told them that if you don't bow down to me, I'm going to throw you into a fiery furnace and you're going to burn. And the king gave them notice and said the trumpet is going to sound. When you hear that sound, you must bow. Is that clear? Then one of them stood up and said, "Oh, king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter at all. We don't even have to go home and pray about this or think about this before we answer you. We can tell you right now to your face that we will not bow down to your image. We fear God more than we fear you. Because we believe God, our God, the God we serve, he is able to deliver us from your hands. And that's what we no longer believe. That in the face of pressure, we must remember that our God is able to deliver us from the hands of every or any human being.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
There's no human being who can fire you when God is keeping you employed.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
I had one of the testimonies, you know, people who've been sharing testimonies about the flow prayer meetings lately. And I had one of the testimonies, you must have heard it too. One of the ladies said that, you know, she prayed. I think when the prophet was leading us in a prayer for favor or so, and she prayed about her workplace because things were gradually going sour at her workplace and she was afraid of losing her job, and she took it to the Lord in prayer. And then within one week, everything had turned around, including when she was called to the manager's office, and the manager, I think one of her colleagues was fired, and the manager explained to her that this person was fired because they came to tell us bad things about you. And we said, no, we can't have somebody like that working here. And so they rather had to go. You see, that person was trying to engineer the firing of our member. And then in the end, she had to go because, you know, the angel of the Lord intervened. Do you understand?
Hey.
There is no man who can fire you when God has not fired you. Yes, that's just the way it is. When God has not allowed it, when God has not permitted it, there's no man who can change your destiny when God has not commanded it. Hallelujah. The Bible says, who is he that says a thing and it comes to pass? When the Lord has not commanded it, when the Lord has not declared the same thing, when God has not agreed, the Bible says, if God stretches out his arm like that, who shall bend it? Which human being can bend the arm of the Lord when God stretches out his arm?
Nobody.
Let us fear God rather than man. And those guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the man puts them in the furnace, he put them in the fire, I tell you, and he thought he was going to teach them a lesson. And to his surprise, when he looked at the furnace, he began to see four people in it, not three. He said, I put three people in the fire. I can see four. What's going on? I'm sure he called his doctors to see if there's something wrong with his eyes, because he was now seeing four. And they said, no, there's nothing wrong with your eyes. You're seeing right. The fourth person you see there is the Son of Man.
Oh, yeah.
Point them in the fire to help your God's people. So sometimes for obeying God, you may have to go into the fire. Yes, you may have to go into the fire. But you must remember that God is with you. For taking a stand for him, he will always be with you. His presence will be with you. And when God's presence is with you, outcomes are affected. The outcome is always affected by the presence of God with you. Things don't turn out a certain way because the presence of God is with you. You know, let me close by reading that scripture with you, Daniel chapter 3, before I close. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3 real quick and look at the story I was just sharing with you. Okay, Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Right? But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We will not compromise. We will not change our stance. We will not go back on our word. We will not now become unbelievers or behave like unbelievers just because you're threatening us. We will stand by the word. We will stand for what is right. We will stand for what we believe, and we'll continue to trust God. Our God is able to deliver us from your hand. And even if he doesn't deliver us, we are prepared to suffer for what we believe. You know, this is robust commitment to the Lord. And all of us need to be able to say something like this, that even if it causes us pain, even if it costs us something, we are going to stay committed to our faith and committed to the things we believe. And they did. But God did not let them down. Do you see? So the Bible says that let's read. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, you know, he was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. I tell you, he really meant to teach them a lesson. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, see who is dying? The ones who are supposed to administer pain and death to them are the ones dying, just like it happened in that office. The one who was engineering the dismissal and the firing of the child of God is the one who ended up fired. And I've heard that story many times. I mean, not that same one, but similar stories. You know, one of our pastors was sharing one with me the other day. He had a manager who was giving him a tough time, you know. And to his surprise, he went to work one morning and they told him that manager had been fired. You know, and he couldn't believe it. Because he thought if someone was going to be fired, it was him. And he still has his job, and that manager is gone. Do you see? Because you don't mess with God's people. God is with us. God no go shame us.
Amen.
Amen. Don't shame us.
Don't worry the neighbor.
You see? So let's finish the story real quick. It says that these men, verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. Okay, this one is another version. This is astonished. It's different from astonished and astonished. Right, but he was astonished and rose up in haste and spake. And said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You know, listen, for any fire that you have to endure, because you chose to obey God. Just remember this, that the Son of God is going to be with you in the
fire. Amen.
In the midst of the fire, loose. You walk, you are in fire, but you are loose. Yeah. You walk in the midst of the fire and you will be in control and there will be no hurt. There will be no hurt because God is with you. Verse 26 says, Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Wow. It says, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. See, this is a prophecy for you. This is your prophecy right there, right?
Amen.
Go through the fire, but the fire will have no power over you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
The fire will not change the slightest thing about you. He says, even their hair. I mean, if you put someone in fire, I expect that at least the hair would respond to the fire. But not the case with these guys. Their hair was not affected. Their coats, remember, they put them in the fire with their hats and their coats and everything. And they came back out of the fire with their coats and everything. Who goes into a fire and comes back with his coat? Except that the Lord is with you.
Amen.
The says the smell of the fire also did not stay on them. You know, the smell of the fire is when the fire leaves traces, when the fire leaves a reminder that it came through. You see, when we look at your life, we can see the effects of the fire that you have gone through. But here, he's saying that the fire didn't leave any smell on them. That means you look at them and you can't even believe they've been through such an experience, because their lives are so unaffected by the experience.
Hallelujah.
Yes, their lives are so unaffected by the experience. And verse 28 says that then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, that's what they're going to say about you. This will be. Say, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and have yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God, right? And therefore, I make a decree that every people, every nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their house shall be downhill, because there is no other God that can be deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted. Everybody say promoted.
Promoted.
The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. After the fire comes your promotion. After the fire comes your promotion. Be the same after the fire, because after the fire will come your promotion.
Amen.
Conclude by encouraging you, take a stand for God. Fear God, not man. Take a stand for God. Whatever the situation, hold on to your beliefs. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your trust that you have placed in God. He will never let you down, you know. And you see, you could have said that God had let them down because he allowed them to enter the fire. But you see, God is God. He chooses where to save you. You see, God chooses whether to save you, prevent you from entering the fire, or to join you in the fire. Do you see? God chooses where he wants to manifest himself. And I know that often we prefer that he'll manifest himself before the fire. Right?
Yeah.
We wish God would have showed up before these guys were thrown in the fire. But with God, it doesn't make a difference. The work that he is going to do is such that it does not make a difference to him where you are saved. You see, but you realize that sometimes the deeper you go into the issue, the brighter and more beautiful the testimony. And you can see that this is indeed the doing of the Lord. And this led to the conversion of everybody.
Wow.
God had saved them before the fire, maybe not everybody would have been converted. It would not become an issue like it did. So allow God to be God and let God choose where and how he wants to save you. Maybe God wants you to go through it before he shows up. Maybe God wants you to experience it before he shows up. But in whatever the case may be with your situation, God is God. God will still be God. And in the end, what you must fight for and believe God for is verse 27, which is that the fire had no power on your body. The fire did not change anything about your life.
Amen.
It didn't change your finances. It didn't change your health. It didn't change your marriage. The fire had no power over your life. And now you have a much better life than the life you had even before the fire. Because when it was all over, they were promoted. They probably had new cars. They were probably living in better places. They were earning more money. They had been promoted. They now had new titles, new servants, new privileges. Your whole life is upgraded because you stood for God and went to the fire through the fire in spite of the danger that was ahead of you. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is where I bring the curtain down on today's message. I believe that God has spoken to us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Careful not to lose his presence. Let's fear the Lord, right? Where you see there's this last verse here, 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 21. Quickly look at it. It says, at the end of Saul's life, he was like someone who had never been anointed. He died the death of someone who had never experienced the grace of God. Let that not be your story, right?
Amen.
The last line of verse 21 says, it was as though he had not been anointed with oil. It says, as though he had not been anointed with oil. You can see that. It says, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil, which means when people are anointed with oil, it's supposed to make a difference. Do you see? But this guy's life ended as though he had not been anointed with oil. And it was for all the reasons we have just gone through. And so I pray that that will not be your story. When people look at your life, they'll rather see the evidence that you have been anointed with oil. They'll rather see the difference oil makes in a person's life. The difference the anointing, the presence of God makes in the lives of those who trust him. Hallelujah. God bless you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And I want everybody just take a moment and pray for yourself and say, Lord, help me not to lose your presence. Right? And maybe you have a problem with one of the things, one of the areas we mentioned, stubbornness, rebellion, disobedience, you know, which one is your problem? Whichever one it is, just pray about it and ask God to deliver you from it, right? Maybe you're one of those sacrificing instead of obeying God. Or maybe you are living in sin, you know, and now is not the time to define what sin is. You know what you're doing is wrong. You know how you're living, and you know how you should be living. You know what you shouldn't be doing, right? God has sent a word to you today, and you must obey in the name of Jesus. Everybody pray and just ask God. Say, Lord, please heal me, deliver me from this in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my speed. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Oh, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul you alone. spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Everybody right there in your home, just telling you alone, you alone. Lift up your hand to the Lord and just tell him, you alone, you alone, you are my God. You are the one I will fear. You are the one I will obey. I will live for you. I crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords in my life today. Ah, my heart's desire. Today we crown you as our King, and we declare to the hearing of everyone that you are our Master, you are our Savior. You deserve the first and the best place in our lives. You deserve the first and the best parts of our day. You deserve the first and the best of everything we have. Because you are God. There is none that compares with you. No one matches your class. No one matches your power. No one matches you in strength and might. And we thank you for the privilege of knowing you. We ask, O God, that your presence will not leave us. We have studied the things that turn away your presence from us. And today we ask, Lord, that you give us power, give us grace, empower us and embolden us, Lord, to stay away from these sins. May we not lose your presence like Saul lost it. May we not lose your presence because we seek to please people, because we seek to be accepted by people, because we seek, Lord, to fit in with people. May we stand firm. May we stand, Lord, in defense of our beliefs, in defense of the faith, in defense of our relationship with you, Lord. May we not yield to pressure, the fear of man, pressure from the people, Lord, pressure from our friends, our neighbors, even relatives, Lord. May we not yield to ungodly pressure. Help us always to stand for our beliefs, trusting you, knowing that you will never leave nor forsake us. We thank you, Father, for the blessing of your word. Thank you for everything you've shown us in your word today. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Now, before we close, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, to invite Jesus to come into your heart. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us fall short of the standards that God has set for mankind. And the wages of our sin is death. But the Bible says the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I want to recommend that you receive this gift of Jesus Christ today. And you can do so by praying this simple prayer with me. And everyone else can join us as we say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know I'm a sinner.
I know I'm a sinner.
And I will not argue about that at all.
I will not argue about that at all.
I know I'm a sinner.
I know that I'm a sinner.
So I ask you, Jesus.
So I ask you, Jesus.
Please come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me, Lord.
Let your blood wash me, Lord.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Please forgive my sins.
Please forgive my sins.
And make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Everybody says amen.
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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I trust you are blessed by the message today. And if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I believe that there are people who would like to meet with you and talk to you. And so if you send a text message to the number on your screen, someone will contact you and share more with you and help you to be a real Christian and to stand for Jesus Christ. Amen. So God bless you. We now want to come to the Lord's table. We want to go over to the First Love Center and join our pastor, our prophet, our bishop, our founder, our great teacher. We want to join him as he leads us in communion and as he prays for us. Okay, so let's do that right now.
We want to receive our Holy Communion at this time. Take the bread. How many would like to have Jesus in your life? I find Jesus quite amazing.
I do.
Do you find Jesus great?
He's great.
I find him great. Huh?
Great.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I like that song. Yeah. Lift your offering up high, your communion, Holy Communion. Father, thanks for this bread. We receive the bread and partake of Jesus. As you receive this, you are taking part of Jesus. Whatever is in Jesus is coming into you. Lord, we thank you for your body. We honor you and we thank you that your body is coming into us. We receive of your body and we thank you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. The body of Jesus Christ. Now take the blood. May the blood of Jesus wipe away all your mistakes and your sins. May you be healed of your diseases. Every blood disease disappears. Every diagnosis of fear and fright, every threat of death is repelled in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The blood of Jesus. Now lift your hands for your blessing. May the blessing of the Lord rest upon you. May you be free from every disease, every plague, and every fear. I declare your healing and protection from the pandemic, from the curse, from the wickedness that is roaming through the world. Whichever part of the world you are in, receive divine protection, deliverance from death, deliverance from breathing difficulties, deliverance from pain, deliverance from sorrow, heartache, breakup of marriages. destruction of lives, be delivered, be set free in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Father. Stretch out your hand for healing and mercy across the world, through the broken body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The evil that is running through the land, we are delivered from it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.